My perfect avatar would basically be a version of myself, is probably the best way of putting it. So when I'm seeing clients, I'm predominantly focused on female. I have tried to make the podcast more appealing to both genders rather than just making it female focused.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Hey, it's Adam Adams. And generally, as you may have gotten accustomed to, any even-numbered episode is supposed to be me alone pouring into you and your business. However, I did so many different interviews with so many really, really good people that on this episode today, even though this would typically just be me pouring into your business, me just sharing something short, like 5, 10, 20 minutes, where I poured into you and your podcast and growing your brand and really getting you in front of everybody, I'm going to do that today with an interview. So let's get right into it. What's up, podcaster? It's your host, Adam Adams. Today, we're joined with Rachel Doss from across the pond. I think Australia. Is that right, Rachel?
Yep, Australia, Gold Coast to be specific.
Gold Coast. Gold Coast is the east side, right?
Yep.
Is that right?
So we're in Queensland, but we're like right on the beach. We're like the best section of weather of Australia, if you want to put it that way.
The best weather?
Yes. Our winters are still like 21 degree days and they don't get too hot either. Like we're not the super, like it gets hot in summer, but it's not overly humid, muggy, horrible like it is up north more. So we're good in between, whereas, down south gets a lot colder and up north gets a lot hotter.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. I wouldn't think of it that way because here on the northern hemisphere, I think that it gets colder north, I think. Anyway, her podcast is Healthy, Not Hungry. And so she serves people that are busy professionals, people that want to be healthy and be able to get it all taken care of. So she's done a lot of personal training. She's done a lot of nutrition as well. So that's it. A little bit about her bio is down in the show notes. Her podcast is down in the show notes. If you want to connect with her, just scroll down. You can get her website, her bio, her show notes. Everything is there. So let's jump into the interview. And I was curious, I've already shared it a little bit, Rachel, but who do you serve and how do you serve them?
So my goal is to serve anyone is kind of where it comes down to, but particularly people who feel like they have tried to be healthy and maybe they've gone to an extreme and for whatever reason, they haven't been able to stick with it. I guess my goal is to redefine how we look at healthier habits and being healthy and I guess take the pressure off. And instead of feeling like we're trying to do these unobtainable, unachievable things and then beating ourselves up when we inevitably fail at it, is learning to do smaller things consistently and be able to make an impact that way, but still enjoy your best life. So that's probably who I like in the podcast, who I 100% serve is anyone who is wanting to get a better check on their health, but still enjoy life.
Yeah. I know that quite a while back, you and I were talking, I listened to a few of your episodes. I gave you some feedback and I understand you changed your microphone since then. And I also understand you changed calls to action since then. Do you mind telling us like what you were doing before you changed on the calls to action, kind of like what it was like, what you learned, and then what you're implementing now?
Yeah, of course. So when I started the podcast, I guess my goal was basically I went from seeing a lot of clients face to face and I cut it down a little bit because I was getting a bit burnt out and I realized what I was missing and what I think a lot of people were missing were these great conversations that I was having one-on-one where we were taking the pressure off and someone was like, I feel really bad because I blew out my diet again. And we kind of discuss a way around it and a better way to handle it. So that's, I guess, where it came from. I just wanted to have a conversation with people to help spark their mind a bit and I guess take the pressure off and maybe help them to be able to implement change on a more positive note. But
let me see if I can repeat back what I'm hearing so far. In the beginning, there wasn't really, it's sounding like there wasn't really a call to action because the main purpose of the show was to simply allow people to feel that grace that they might need in times where they blew out their diet. So in the beginning, it wasn't like, I want them to work with me or anything. It was more like, hey, let me just put out good content that might be able to help this person, inspire them to keep going. Is that right?
100%. So yeah, I had no intention of using it as a marketing funnel or, do you know what I mean? Like, it literally just wanted to get the conversation out there. And if two people listened to it and it made their day, I was pretty happy with that. Okay, so after speaking to you, you mentioned that I should have a call to action, even if it's simply directing someone on how they can further their help. I think the way you described it was, it's great that you're giving them this info, but then you're not helping them further progress. And also for yourself as a business, you could be using this. So now, I mean, look, it's definitely not, I'm not overly silly in it, but I definitely lead them towards like my socials and my website, and I have a Facebook group. And it's more so saying, look, if you want to discuss this further, or if you want to look for some more resources, head this way. Whereas I didn't do that previously.
Okay, cool. I love that. And I think that's a great takeaway for the listener as well, who's got a podcast.
Yeah.
But I think most of the time, at least me, I used to be like very afraid of asking someone to hire me. Like, that seemed such a like a low life that would ask somebody to hire them, you know, like a salesman. And I didn't like it. I didn't like the feeling of it. I kind of took it the wrong way. But, you know, what you're saying, it's like, hey, how can I help them get to the next level? And one of the ways is I could tell them where my social is. One of the ways I could let them know where the Facebook community is, or where they could ask me more questions one-on-one. And I think that is helpful to get that listener from one place to the next place. So thank you for sharing. If you're like, you were launching your podcast, you probably have gone through a couple of challenges. You've probably you've not been perfect at everything. What have you learned along the way? What challenges did you need to overcome to get that podcast going?
Technology was a big one, because I am not technology focused at all. I'm a bit of a 28-year-old dinosaur, if you want to put it that way. But that was a big one. I started like with a $5 Kmart microphone, as you mentioned earlier. I've now upgraded to a much better one, but I just started. But I think the biggest thing was listening back to my voice. I really struggled with that at the beginning. Like, I would cringe and be like, oh, this isn't, I don't like listening to this. But I have to say now I'm quite comfortable with it. So that was probably the biggest challenge at the end of the day for me, was hearing myself back.
Yeah, it is for me too, because I cringe mostly at the things that I say. I'm like, oh, I could have been so much more eloquent. Or maybe I feel like I took over that interview, and this is Rachel's interview, and why am I teaching so much? I got to have Rachel teach. And so I'll get kind of disappointed. I think when you say your voice, would you say it's more of like, because I think most of us don't usually, at least in the beginning, love the way that we sound on a mic, because we sound different in our head. Is that what you meant? Or did you mean like the content or something?
Probably a bit of both.
Okay.
So yeah, like, I'm someone who, I always have a blocked nose. So I'm got quite a nasally voice, I guess. And to me, it was very apparent as I was listening back, and I'm like, oh, that's worse than I thought. But you know, you get past it. But I guess even on a content front, so my older brothers are always giving me a hard time, because they're like, you say like so often. And I've tried really hard not to do it as much in the podcast. But you know, when you hear back things that someone might give you grief for, and like, you know, give you a friendly, like, you say that all the time, and then you hear it back and you're like, they're right. That was probably one of the biggest things that I struggled to hear.
I have a ton. I've learned that I had a lot of filler words and filler phrases too. Okay, so has been a filler phrase. It's where you stop saying something and I'm not exactly sure where I'm going to go in the podcast. I need to think of a new question. I would always start it with, okay, so, and then I would think, and that would take a lot of extra time. And I've learned some ways around that. I used to say, I still say like quite a bit. And I will say, you know, quite a bit.
And yeah, so I do that too.
It's helpful, because I've learned to just make like and I've started to learn anyway, to make it a silent, to just pause for a sec and then get into
instead
the rest.
Instead of verbalizing it.
Yeah. Instead of verbalizing it. And some of the likes, they're necessary. Some of them, you used three in that sentence where you're explaining like, you used three. And yeah. one of them definitely was necessary. Like there's no, I just used it and it was unnecessary. There are, however, a lot of the times where we actually just need to use that word. There's no other way because we're likening something to something else. But as mm-hmm. we learn and progress and grow, for the listener who's hearing this and thinks, oh, I might say filler words or filler phrases like the word like, or like the word or the word how about I try to practice for 3 days straight on always making a pause or rephrasing the same yeah. thing, but practicing a pause instead of a verbalized sound. And I think that'll help.
Definitely. So, mine's gotten a lot better.
Any other hacks that you've learned along the way?
Okay, it's a bit of a cheat one, but I got a virtual assistant.
That oh, nice.
Was a great hack on my end. So she does, I will like record the podcast and edit it. But as far as any uploading stuff goes, she does all of that for me. I don't love being on social media. So once again, I'll make all the content, but she does all the posting and yeah, that to me has been my greatest hack.
That is a beautiful thing to share is to work with somebody who can serve you as an assistant, especially if it's a virtual assistant and you are able to save money compared to if they were living next door to you. That is also beautiful. And out of curiosity, why do you do the editing? Why do you do the artwork if you've got that virtual assistant? Would you be able to train him or her to take over those two things to make your life even easier?
I probably could. However, I really like, I guess I'm a bit meticulous on it. I like it coming from me, if that makes sense, because I know it's authentically. And even with the editing, like there's bits that I might decide I want to change or not. And then a bit of a control freak in that sense, I guess. Like if Sol, my assistant, she's fantastic. But if she edits it wrong, I think I'd be like, oh, I wanted to change that. So for me, I find it easier for my peace of mind as well to know that I'm having it exactly how I want it. And then I get her to do all the doing work.
Okay. I like that too.
Yeah.
Any tools that you use in podcast for automation or artificial intelligence in your process? It sounds like you do some of it your own. You've got your virtual assistant. Just curious if there's any subscriptions that you're part of or any automation tools or any other part of the process that you think will help a newer podcaster to be able to serve their audience easier.
I have to say that something I'm probably only just looking into now is looking at other ways I can, you know, gain more knowledge and insight and do things a bit better. Like I've played with AI a couple of times. I find that I'm quite lucky in the sense that I've got that brain that's full of ideas. So I can quite easily come up with ideas and put it into, I guess, what I want to put it into. So I'm lucky in that sense. But I found that I spent the same amount of time typing into AI what I could already come up with. So yeah. For me, it was better to not. But I'm definitely looking into, like, even now, like resources on better ways to grow or other things you can consider doing. And Google's probably been my biggest friend. Is I will literally just Google stuff and then end up on people's blogs and just reading from completely random sources is probably my biggest thing that I do.
Thank you for sharing those insights. And it sounds like it's same thing with me. I could do even better. There's a few things that I think I could do to make it even easier. And it just is a matter of looking into it and seeing what it is.
Yeah.
I've got a question. It's almost every single week or probably every single week you publish at the same day, same time. Every 7 days normally. Is that right?
Now it is, yeah. So we started weekly, then we went back to fortnightly, now we're weekly.
Wait, you started weekly and then you went to, what was the second one?
Fortnightly, so every 2 weeks. And then basically
my brain is like broken. Fortnightly?
So in, I don't know if this is in Australia, you call every 2 weeks a fortnight.
Oh, no. I've never heard that before. I've never heard that. I love it though.
Right. Okay.
We just say bi-weekly or bi-monthly.
Oh, we don't call it that. We call it fortnightly.
Fortnightly. Spell it for me.
Yeah, like the game Fortnite, like Fortnight. Yeah.
Okay. I just learned something very new. Okay. What? So you started out weekly and then you went and played Fortnite and now you're going weekly again. That's what I heard. Okay, weekly, bi-weekly, now back to weekly. Yeah. Out of curiosity, why weekly? Why fortnightly? And then why back to weekly? What is the point of it? Did you get better traction at one? Is one harder than the other? Is one easier than the other? Do you feel like you, is it like a, in your heart, you know you need to serve somebody a certain way? What made it go weekly every other week and then weekly again?
So I started weekly because I thought that was a good schedule to go on. And then okay. I got really busy with life. And honestly, I ran out of time to be able to record enough. This is before I started interviewing people as well, I should mention. So I was just doing solo eps and I just wasn't getting enough time to produce enough weeklies. So I moved to fortnightly to take the pressure off. And then I started interviewing people, which obviously gave me a heap more content and made it a lot easier to return to weekly. So I've moved back to weekly.
Okay. So the help has been to interview people. That's why it's easier. Okay, cool.
Yeah,
I like
definitely.
That. And do you ever do solo episodes? Now is it like every other is a solo or is it 100% interviews?
Probably every second or third episode solo. So I still, like if I'm having a conversation with a client that week and something comes up and I'll be like, I should talk about this. Or if there's something that's irking me or, you know, like just something that happens and I'm like, yeah, this needs to be spoken about. So then I'll do a solo ep.
What was one of the most recent solo episodes that you did? Would it be Do What Works, the one that came out back in December 10th? Is that a solo?
Yeah, so I recorded that probably 2 months ago. I recorded one yesterday, which was my health takeaways from 2023.
Okay, cool. And what were you thinking when you were creating, I guess, the most recent one that's kind of like an end of the year wrap up? What were you thinking about it? Like, how did you think that it would help your perfect avatar, your listener?
I guess this year for me personally, I've had to, I think it's like anyone for any year, but I had to learn a few health reminders that I probably knew, but they hit you in the face. Things like, you know, needing to slow down and listen to your body because you keep getting burnt out. Little things like that, that it's like deep down we all know, but we always tend to push to the side until we can no longer ignore it. And I guess my hope was I figured if I'm having these realizations and I'm highly educated in it, there's probably people who aren't, who are definitely pushing against this still. And I guess my goal is to alleviate people pushing against ourselves so hard.
Yeah. And how long will that episode be? I guess it's going to air pretty soon. How long will it be?
28 minutes.
You already know. I love it. And for your listener, let's talk about avatar a little bit deeper. We have talked about that you kind of want to serve a lot of different people, but one of the main ones is a busy professional, somebody who's busy doing things, and you can help them. If we focus on your perfect avatar, what would you say he or she normally worries about or keeps them up at night?
So I guess my perfect avatar would basically be a version of myself, is probably the best way of putting it. So when I'm seeing clients, I predominantly focus on female. I have tried to make the podcast more appealing to both genders rather than just making it female focused. But that would be my ideal, is someone who is trying to balance working, motherhood, and still looking after themselves in the mix of it.
Yeah. And so they're working, they've got motherhood, they're trying to figure out a balance. Can you get deeper into the, I call it psychographics. It's like, what keeps, let's say it's female, your avatar, she's a woman. She's going through all that. What keeps her up at night? What does she want to achieve and what's holding her back?
Keeping up at night is probably not feeling or looking how she wants to, would be a big one. Particularly when you're, you know, entering the realm of motherhood, you've had children, your body changes, your hormones change. That's a really big thing that I think keeps a lot of people up at night. So I guess realizing that it's okay to not have the same body that you had and find new ways to love yourself as you are is a big part. But as far as, I guess, what's wanting to achieve and what's stopping it, energy is probably both. So, you know, wanting to feel better, have more energy, be more vibrant, but at the same time, you're probably a bit exhausted. So that's what's stopping you in the same instance.
And just shine in your own light for a sec. as I ask this question about that person and how you serve them, what you do to help them, how they could work with you. I want to understand, what is it that you do, not just on the podcast, but if that person ends up hiring you, how does that look?
I do see online clients, although admittedly, it's not my favorite. I prefer face-to-face. I just find energetically, I'm a lot better and it's a lot easier to be present and build that connection a lot quicker. Plus, if we are exercising, so because I see people for nutrition and for personal training, nutrition-wise, it's a lot easier to do online. However, it's great to sit down in person and have a chat because you can physically see where someone's at and maybe what's going on with them a little bit better. But personal training-wise, obviously, I'm a stickler for good technique. So I want to be able to fix their technique while they're exercising and help them with it. But yeah, my clients who I see, I guess they come to me. Usually we go through their diet. We go through an array of their health and what it looks like as an overall picture. And then I try and bring it back to the root cause of what's actually going on that's then causing these symptoms. And also like mentally and emotionally what's going on and trying to understand what's gotten them to where they are and maybe what is their barriers that stops them aiming for success. And then all of that information obviously goes into our training as well. But then I'm developing, I guess, like meal plans and training plans, but also just techniques to help them mentally be able to cope with adding these small changes.
I like that you add small changes. I think that's helpful, especially for those of us who are wanting to make a difference. Sometimes I believe, or I've noticed at least for myself, that if I go 0 to 100, then I will burn out after a short time.
Yeah.
But if I go 0 to 2, 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 12, 10 to 15, 10 to 20, 20 to 80 to 90 eventually, then I feel like I get a lot of value by just kind of, all right, I've got all of that. It's now it's normal. Now I'm just going to do this next thing. And you said something, Rachel, you said when you're working with somebody, you go to the root cause of their symptom and find out what's really causing that symptom to be. And it sounds like it's not always what they think. So let's talk about an unnamed client of yours.
Yep.
And she has a symptom. What might that symptom be?
Okay. So look, as a nutritionist, because I'm a clinical nutritionist as well, so I might be dealing with gut health or hormone issues, but to like make it more in like the personal training space, say I've got someone who is constantly overeating and they think that they're overeating because they have no energy. And maybe they think they have no energy because their body's just not producing enough energy. For example, deep down, the chances are when you look at their diet, they're probably not having anywhere near enough protein. That's like a very like simple approach of one. So like that happens a lot. You get particularly women come in and they have no energy. They have insane sugar cravings. And then they also wonder why they're not toning up, why they're not putting on muscle. Usually if you look at their protein intake, it's less than 50% of realistically what they should be having a day. That's like a very simple method.
I want to share something and I might be the worst guy to date in the world. We'll just put that out. I will frequently suggest to people that I know, and if I'm dating somebody, I will notice that their protein is like nothing. Like they never eat like any meat, rarely ever any eggs, for example, maybe some cheese, but not usually like high protein cheese, you know? So it's like you see it and you don't really know how to, I don't know how to support or express like that if you boost your protein, it's going to support you. I'm curious how you do that as a coach, as somebody who's a nutritionist. And let's just say the woman is coming to you and she's like, I eat plenty of protein, or I can't eat any more protein, or there's no way for me to eat any more meat than that, or I don't even like meat. Or they might say, protein shakes are gross. I can't figure out any other way. How do you help them to get over that so that they can eat a little bit more protein? Because I think it would help me as a friend and a companion to my kids or whomever. And I also think that a listener is, they're probably like, yeah, I guess I don't get enough protein. And they may have heard like, yeah, I don't like meat that much, or protein shakes are crappy. They don't taste good to me. What would you say?
Yeah. So in my experience, about 80 to 90% of people who don't eat enough protein don't realize that they don't eat enough protein. That's probably number one. Rarely do I get someone who comes and says, yeah, I don't eat enough protein because I don't like it or I can't fit it in. It's usually they're like, I eat plenty of protein. And so I go straight to facts because you can't argue with science is where I'm at with it. So the rule of thumb is for every kilogram of body weight, you need at least a gram of protein. So if someone weighs 70 kilograms, minimally, they should be having 70 grams of protein. Now, if I'm seeing a new woman and they're
the US. And so 70 kilograms, 2.2 pounds. So 70 is 154 pounds. And so they would need at least 70 grams of protein per day, what you're saying,
yes,
right?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Minimum. Sorry. Yeah. I should have. Yeah. Minimum. Cool. So usually then when I say that to someone, they're like, oh, but I eat lots of protein. Then what we do is I always make someone write me a diet diary so that I can understand. I need 3 days worth. I can understand what they eat. And usually I say to them, write me what you ate the last 2 days and today. So they don't have a chance to fabricate it based off now they know someone's going to be looking at it. Because obviously then it's going to change a bit. So then what we'll do is I'll calculate from that how much protein they're having. Usually it's about 30 grams. So not even half of what they need. That's like the bare minimum, right? So if you are trying to build muscle or tone or whatever goal you might be having, you should really be having 1.5 grams per kilogram. So I guess, sorry, I'm just trying to figure out how to change that to pounds.
Yeah. My brain's like, this isn't working. That would go, if they were 154 pounds and it would normally be 70 grams, it would be another 35 grams on top. So it'd be 105 total grams.
105.
Out of 154. So it's about 70.7 or 0.8 grams per pound, something like that.
Right. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So that's, once again, then you want to increase to that. However, if there's someone who's not even eating half the amount, we're not going to aim for that high amount to begin with because it's scary and unachievable. So then what we'll look at is what they are eating that works. And I always try to keep that so that we've got something familiar and it's not like a complete change. And then we'll look at what can we add. And usually I start with breakfast because a lot of these people have absolutely no protein in their breakfast. It's very carb heavy. That's like very, very common, at least in Australia. So then we will look at what we can do as,
and you know, in the
and
US
also
too,
if you're,
for
yeah,
sure in the
so
US
if you're starting
well.
Your day with a nice high protein breakfast, you're going to feel better from the get-go. And because you feel better, you will most likely make better eating choices as the day goes on. So that's usually my starting point is always breakfast. For someone who doesn't like protein shakes, personally, I can't drink protein shakes with water. I did it for too many years and it's just not a thing for me anymore. But I will mix it into a smoothie. So there's always ways around to make it work. Like if you're making a banana smoothie with like almond milk and honey and a banana, add in a scoop of protein powder, you won't even taste it.
Mm. Yeah, it's good.
And when
like,
in doubt,
what would you say? Would you say vanilla? Oh, okay. You just answered.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, vanilla's the safe option always. Chocolate is very hit and miss on the person. So I just don't suggest it unless you are orientated towards that.
Yeah,
but you can't go wrong with vanilla because you can mix it to any fruit smoothie. But also for some people, they won't want a smoothie. So then we're looking at, well, maybe can you have eggs in your breakfast? If you've got someone who doesn't want that or they just don't eat breakfast, then I go for easy options. So when I say easy options, I say, look, what about a protein bar? Have you tried this one? It tastes like a chocolate bar. Most of the time they're like, oh, okay, I could eat that. Because it's convenient. They don't have to make it. And once again, they're getting like 22 grams of protein from the get-go.
Yeah. Well, let's take a quick break. And when we jump back, I want to just get the top advice that you have for a podcast host who's new at this and jumping in. And I'll mention again, it's Healthy Not Hungry. You can find that podcast by going into the link. Just scroll down in the show notes and you'll find that link. We'll be right back. Hey, my friend, as you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, growyourshow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now you can get a free list of vetted equipment that like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show. We're back with Rachel Doss, and she is the host of the Healthy Not Hungry podcast. Her bio's in the show notes. Everything else is in the show notes. She's talked of, she's given a lot of value already, talking about who she serves, how she serves them. That's important to you because you need to know who you serve, how you serve them. You need to get as granular as possible to understand that avatar. For Rachel, her avatar happens to be her a few years ago. It's her old me, and that's who she basically essentially will be serving. You've got to figure out your avatar. Maybe it's previous Rachel. Maybe it's John or Jerry or Smith or Carrie or Samantha or whatever. You figured out that person first, and she's understands who her avatar is. She understands what they're going through, what they're looking for, what they want to achieve, and she understands how to find their root cause. When she talked about some challenges, she went over a few things that she did to kind of get it off the ground, even microphones, for example, and calls to action, we mentioned a little bit. We talked a little bit about some podcast hack, which for her is to offload a lot of the podcast production to her virtual assistant. That, by the way, Rachel, how much do you pay the virtual assistant? Do you mind answering?
No, of course. So I go through an agency, but it costs me, in Australian dollars, this is $280 a week for 20 hours.
Okay. 20 hours. That's great. So it sounds like it's about 10 Australian dollars per hour, something like that.
And yeah, I think so that's pretty affordable. She's in the Philippines.
How much would it be for you to hire somebody in your neighborhood to do the same thing if they lived in Queensland?
Easily, minimally triple an hour.
Cool. Like, awesome. Yeah. So if you're listening and you want that, to use that podcast hack, you would do is you would work with a virtual assistant and save 2/3 of the time. You could actually have three full-time assistants for the same price as one full-time assistant if they were in your neighborhood. And Rachel, is it scary to have a virtual assistant? Do they do bad things? Do they steal money? Is it scary? Because I think a lot of people are afraid of that.
Well, I haven't found it scary at all. I think as well, going through an agency, it gives you that peace of mind because there's someone else that's there accountable to. And like, for example, my virtual assistant has a supervisor. So there's a lot of support of people to go to make sure the job's done. More so than that, like my virtual assistant's become a really good friend of mine. She's absolutely phenomenal. And because she is from the Philippines, like I'll give them a shout out over there. I think Filipinos are very hard workers and very lovely people. So that definitely helps. But yeah, not scary at all.
Cool. I have a virtual assistant placement agency. We don't stay as busy as my podcast agency, but we do help people if they need a podcast, if they need a virtual assistant for their business, for their podcast. So I will use a shameless plug right here, right now. You can go to growyourshow.com/VA, virtual assistant, basically, growyourshow.com/VA. And I'll make sure that's in the show notes in the resources area. If you're looking for a VA, we can also serve you. So we are an agency that can place the right person for you and save you a whole bunch of money and save you a whole bunch of time as well. So I'll mention that to you, the listener, real quick. I said quack
that's
like a duck.
That's helpful.
A quack like that's a real
because
quack.
Mine I had to teach. No, that's okay. Mine I had to teach the podcast stuff too, because at least in Australia, I couldn't find a VA agency that specialized in podcasts. So I think that's fantastic that you've got that. Saves a lot of time and energy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I enjoy doing it because we just vet them a little bit heavily, and it usually allows people to really enjoy working in that position and the owner to enjoy working with that person. So anyway, I enjoy it. I think it's a lot of fun and I hope it is helpful. You talked about a little bit of tools that you're going to be working on it. You talked about a big challenge, and I would like to talk a little bit about just advice that you'd have for somebody who's not as far along, like 1, 2, or even 3 pieces of advice. And then we'll jump off and let the listener hear the next episode.
Sure. I think just stick at it is probably the biggest thing, and done is better than perfect. So I had so many reservations before I started. And even when I started releasing them, I was nervous. I was like, what if no one wants to listen to this or thinks it's dumb? Or you worry about, you're putting yourself out there and it's very scary. Like in person, I'm not so worried about it because I can see someone's reaction. But online, it can be brutal. And I was pretty scared of that. I was like, oh, there's going to be people I went to school with having a good old laugh about how bad my show is. But I mean, luckily, obviously that hasn't happened. And that just goes to show that was my insecurity. And I have to say my confidence personally, has grown with the podcast, because I've had people message me being like, wow, that was a really great episode. I really needed to hear that. And I think, yeah, stay consistent and believe in yourself, even if you maybe don't believe in yourself yet. Just give it a good crack, because at some point there will be validation that comes in that makes you be like, okay, it is good. It is worth it. But obviously you've got to have a bit of blind faith going in and just hope that that's the case.
Yeah. I wrote down a few things that you wrote that you mentioned. Blind faith is the last one I'm writing. I want to repeat them to the listener. She says, stick with it. Stay on it. Basically, I would say persistence, determination. Don't quit. The second one, as she mentioned, is done is better than perfect. And I think it really depends on your level of what you say is perfection, because there's a lot of stuff that definitely can go out. Literally, it's not perfect and it's still valuable. This episode right now, it's no fault on mine. It's no fault on Rachel's. This episode isn't, quote, perfect. It is organic. It is natural. It is human. And we're going to publish it. We are publishing this for you to listen to, and it is possible we could have done even better. It's possible we could have done this, but done is better than perfect. We put out a good product with good value and some humor, and we give it to you. That's what she's saying. She also mentioned that she got her insecurity into confidence. She turned insecurity into confidence just by doing it, by staying consistent and having blind faith that to work. I've noticed one other thing, Rachel, that you mentioned. I think it was in the green room, which means right before we started recording. You mentioned that you had a support system. You mentioned you had friends and family that you could go to talk to you, and they were encouraging you. And I think that's also beneficial for the listener, as good podcast advice, to surround themselves with people that want them to be able to succeed and achieve and do, and are willing to give real feedback, versus surrounding themselves with only people who are like, you shouldn't do that. That's a dumb idea. So having a good support system, I think, is another one that I can see that you're utilizing. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, but I think that's with anything in life, right? Like my circle of friends and family around me, I'm very particular who I have. It's definitely a smaller circle, but they're very high quality people and they have my back no matter what. And I could tell them I'm doing something obscene and they'd be like, are you sure about that? But then if I'm like, yeah, I'm sure about it, they'd be like, okay, I've got you, go ahead. And that's, I think, whether it's a podcast or a business venture or really anything that you want to do in life, I think it's really important to be selective of who you have around you and who you share it with. Because there's some people who you might be close to, maybe they're your family, but they're not going to be the people to share things with, because they're going to essentially spit on your dreams. They're not going to lift you up and say, you know what? Yeah, why can't you do this?
Yeah. Great stuff. So to the listener, remember that Rachel's website, her bio, and her podcast, Healthy Not Hungry, all of that stuff is down in the show notes. Go ahead and scroll down, connect with her, follow her, especially if you are her avatar. She called you out. She told you who you are. If you resonate with that, probably ought to start listening to the podcast to be able to learn and grow from her. She gave you a lot of good content here as well. My next episode with you is a solo episode. It's you and I. And I've got something that I do want to pour into you. Don't go anywhere. I'll see you in the next episode. This is serious. Don't go. Now that you've gotten whatever value that you feel that you got, the actionable takeaways, you need to implement the stuff that you learn. If you remember me talking about bird church once, and they learn how to fly, and then they walk home. I don't want you to walk home. I want you to fly home. So take the steps, take the actionable steps for your benefit so that you can become a better podcaster. That's the only thing that I ask of you. And I'll see you for more actionable tips on the very next episode.